Can we erase our history? Is it as easy as this? Plausible deniability. I swear I've never heard of it. And I can close the door on us, but the room still exists, and I know you're in it. Hours of phrases I've memorized, thousands of lines on the page, all of my notes in a desolate pile I haven't touched in an age. And I can
Right, and thank you all for tuning in. This is Luke. You're listening to my show, Elephant Loaf, here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Every episode, I come to you with a different guest. This week, my guest is Lee. Lee, introduce yourself however you would like to.
Hey, how's it going? I feel like a celebrity doing this. I feel like I'm on the set of Dear White People, if any viewers know that. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You were saying that the host, or one of the characters in that show, is the host of a college radio show.
Yeah. And honestly, awesome. This entire set really reminds me of it. I walked in and I was blown away. I've never been up here, and I think this might be the coolest spot on campus other than the sink.
One of my favorite things, like when someone hasn't seen the space, is showing them around and
mind blown.
It's great.
I felt like I was paparazzi. I was just snapping pictures left, right, and center as soon as I walked in here. You will see so much of the inside of this on my Snap story later. So I'm incredible. Doing it all for the fans, is what of I'm really trying to say.
I mean, it's always got to be for the fans. do you have a question that you want to start with?
Sure. Okay, I liked what piece of advice has really stuck with you. Mm-hmm. I think about this a lot, and I have a very specific story. So back in high school, I was a part of student government, and there was a boy who was about my age, but he just felt older than me. He felt like everyone's older brother. Yeah. He had his life together. Steady relationship, great grades, family super proud of him, had a car, worked out. It really just felt like he was the person that you should look up to. And I remember him sitting down, and he was like, Lee Chai, you know what? Piece of advice that I want to pass on to you is, like, be the person that you wish you had. Like, at any Whoa. Point in time,
yeah,
be that person. Because, you know, especially, like, as we've gone through, like, this educational experience, right? And, you know, I spent a lot of time reflecting on what it means to, like, be a senior and, you mm-hmm. know, moving away from that. There have been so many mentors in my life that haven't been academic. They've just been, like, other kids that I've, like, looked up to. They're maybe like, yeah. a year or two older than me. And I can start ripping off their names, honestly. Like, and each one just comes back and brings, like, a very, very special memory to mind. But being that person mm-hmm. that I wish I didn't have has definitely been something that I really try to do. So, you know, as a tool leader, that's always been, like, super important to me
yeah.
to, like, support the participants that were in my group, like, reach out to them. After the show, I'm going out with a few of them to a ballet. One of
Incredible.
Them is performing at Harvard. Shout out, Jaina. I cannot wait to see you perform later tonight. We're all very proud of you.
Whoa. That's so sick.
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, that reminds me both of what we were talking about immediately before going on air. Yeah. And then also, like, Lee Chai and I know each other through Wilderness Orientation, where yeah. we were both leaders last year. And one of the things you said to me at the very, like, at the final campfire type moment.
Oh, those are always so beautiful.
They're so great. And there's a whole lot of love in that one moment. And it just feels, I don't know, it feels incredible.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming, for yeah. sure.
Like, just the moments, like, where you just, like, hug everyone after, like, that one big rendition of Deep Inside My Heart.
Yeah.
After, like, the senior goodbyes is a moment that's going to live with me for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Honestly. Oh, so what was what did I say to you that was, you know, surprisingly, you know, smart and forward
well,
thinking?
Well, what you said was be better than me. And, like, for me, you've had such an impact on Wilderness Orientation. You're just such a bright, welcoming presence that, like, That was a crazy thing to hear, because like the initial thought was like how, and then the second thought was like how do I respond to this succinctly in the moment, you know?
True.
But
have you yeah. had a chance to like maybe think about that? Like if this is what maybe 8 months later?
8 months later, yeah.
Yeah. Come back to you. How can you be better?
So here's me not being able to do it succinctly, yeah. but
oh, no, you don't have to be succinct.
I'll give it my best shot, but I don't think I can. Yeah. You know. And it's, I think it's also like everyone's going to have their own unique mark and everyone's going to have their own unique way of doing things. And so like, as we were talking about before, you've got those people that you look up to and those mentors, whether they're your same age, they're older than you. And I think you use tools from them, but on some level, it's always going to be your own way, you know? And so that's the best I got, but
yeah. Yeah. I was actually thinking about that a lot recently. Like in a design class of mine, we were just like making springs, like things, oscillators. They like go mm-hmm. back and forth. And I was wondering. I started my idea, and I liked it. Right, it was something that I had done before. But then I saw so many other just very creative people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a concept that I wrestle with every once in a while is how do I put my best work forward when I understand that I'm not always going to be the most creative person in the room. Right?
Whoa,
like, yeah. there are obviously limits to what I can do and what the person next to me can do. Collectively, we can make something, like, incredible, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes I just wonder, like, is it stealing ideas if I borrow really heavily from someone else? Like, if I just, like, take someone else's start work as, like, a starting point, kind of move on from there? I don't know. I think there is a lot to say, just, like, in that one small space. But...
Yeah.
To circle back to what you were saying, I feel like what's really important is you're putting your best foot forward and you're bringing like an impact into the world that's like positive and that's like making a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing that, like, just using, like, someone else's tools, but then also making it yourself, I think as long as you're doing it, that's what's really important.
Yeah.
Like in a very, very pragmatic way, like, what really matters is that you're, like, doing the work, you know, and you're actually, like, putting it forward.
Yeah, and, I mean, the effort and the desire to put in the effort is so much, it's such a large piece of the puzzle by itself, you know?
Oh, my God, that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I honestly think it's, like, most of the puzzle, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's great to just talk about thing that you want to do. Funny enough, talking about our goals, I'm no psychology expert, so you could, like, double check me or whatever.
Yep.
But I've heard that talking about our goals gives us the same dopamine reward as actually achieving them. And what's way more difficult is actually waking up every day and moving towards those goals. Like, it's not fun. You know, like, let's say one of your goals is I want to bench 225 by the end of the semester.
Yep.
It's really easy to talk about that. It's really easy to say, oh, man, I can't wait to, like, you know, take gym pics and, like, do all this, do all that.
An essential part of the process.
Oh, 100%.
Sure. Yep.
If it didn't happen on Instagram, did it really happen?
So true.
No, like, if you don't have a reels of you benching 225 and you haven't, like, snapped all of your friends, did you actually move any of that weight?
If a tree falls in the forest, I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's really difficult is, like, waking up every day, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're, you know, drinking enough water, that you're, like, supporting your recovery. Oh, my God, like, rest is so important with these. Like, and this is a very contrived example, but, you know, it really is, like, the small steps that you take every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, honestly, that's obviously, like, the most difficult part,
in
my opinion. So, you know, I applaud you for recognizing that, like, the effort is just so important, you know, even if it's not perfect every day.
Yeah, for sure. And... because it's not going to be perfect, you know, especially not every day if you look at it every day. No. And so it's more about, you know, waking up and going, like, hey, I want to try it again. That's, I mean, speaking of another question, is like what's something that college has taught you? Is that how we started this conversation or is that?
No, that wasn't. The piece of advice is how we started. And it's crazy because I was about to go to that question.
Yeah.
Because what I want. Oh, my God. I think we're on the same wavelength right now.
I believe we are.
I think we should, like, pull up. I wish you guys could see. There's, like, a little screen right here that shows our brains connected. And both the wavelengths are just, like, right on top of each other. You can't tell the difference. Because what I was going to say is what I realized in college is you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I think, at least for me personally, that it took me a while to kind of, like, swallow that. Because I came out of high school, you know, guns blazing. I thought I could, like, take over this school, like, day one. Right? I went to Rodriguez High School from New York. I kind of thought I was, like, a hotshot. And then the pandemic rolled around. We got sent home. And we were kind of, like, sitting in our house for a year. And I had to, you know, really, really evaluate, like, what was really important to me. And the important thing was, like, the relationships that I found around myself. And I spent a lot of college just making sure to strengthen those. And, you know, as I'm, like, leaving... as I'm, like, moving away from this, I'm, like, looking back, and the moments that are really going to stick with me are the way that I've grown in and through a lot of these relationships. And, like, you know, they're not perfect. None of them are. None of them can be. But that's okay. Like, it was...
yeah. You know,
getting into fights with friends, the worst. Like... you know, knowing that you, like, messed up somehow, or maybe, like, they messed up, and you actually have to have, like, that conversation, like, with someone is not a fun one to have, but it's so important. And, like, it's okay to, like, you know, say to ourselves, we don't have to be perfect. We're just trying to, like, you know, as long as, like, as long as both parties recognize, like, hey, like, I want to be better. I don't want to be better for myself. I want to be better for, like, this relationship. I want to be better for... yeah, the community at large.
Yeah.
That's, wow, it's just really powerful stuff. And one of the many things I think college has taught me is just, like, you know, being okay with things not being okay.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, my response to this question was going to be very similar, but and it's almost the same thing that I would broadcast to the world, which is another question, which is just keep going. And there's a lot of value in... just
okay, Finding Nemo.
So true. Just keep swimming. So true.
Yeah, you're so real. I'm so real for that.
Absolutely. But, like, I think it's a very similar message of like, things aren't perfect. No. We're going to, but making forward progress is, yeah. just in life in general. Mm-hmm. And that can mean hard conversations sometimes, and that's something I've been bad at in the past, and that's something that, like, I've had to do in college, you know, yeah. which hasn't been great. But it's... Well, yeah. You mm-hmm. mess up, but you get taught a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. my God. So, good friend of mine that I've known all 4 years that I've been here, one of the best communicators that I've met, and it has not been easy, because they've grown into this role of being a great communicator because... a lot of difficult relations that they've had, and I'm, you know, I'm not going to go into like the specifics or anything,
yeah.
but you know, I've been around them. I've seen the toll emotionally that it's like it's taken on them from time to time, but you know, they've come back to me, and I remember sitting down and asking them. I was like, "Hey, why do you keep trying? Like, why not just walk away?
Yeah.
from this relationship?" No, that was the easy answer. You know, it was almost even the selfish, self-interested answer of like, you know, you're putting yourself first here. You know, just, you know. To make it easy, you guys can't see, but I'm like, yeah, dusting my hands, kind of like wiping it away. And you know, they looked at me and they said, "Lichai, like, communication, especially time and again, like, you know, following up, circling back, it's just, it's a display of care, almost. Like, even when this is like hard, and like having those emotional conversations, is an example that like, you have spent time and energy to support this relationship that you want it to continue, and that you know that." These two people or these three people or however many people are involved, yeah. right, can move past this like roadblock that you guys have found yourself. And that's definitely another piece of advice that's really stuck with me, because I've had those conversations with, like, really good friend of mine from New York, got into a little bit of a tussle a couple months ago, and I remember that I cared about this relationship so much that I, however weird the conversation was going to be, I made sure that we like sat down and we had it.
Yep.
And it's honestly one of the stronger relationships that I have right now because I've put in that type of work.
Yeah. There's something to be said for healing stronger, I think.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Was it Rihanna? Rihanna's hit song, "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger." Or is that... No, that's...
I'm going to Google this because I'm not going to know off the top of my head. Rihanna would have been my guess.
No, it's not Rihanna. I'm gonna put money that it's Carrie Underwood.
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, is it bad to say that I thought that was close?
I agree.
Like the same genre I would say. Of Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's gonna call in and be like, "No, oh my god."
Someone's gonna
get this kid off the air. He doesn't know music.
He doesn't know Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
No.
So the only time that anyone has ever randomly called into my show,
yeah.
it was like 1 a.m. and I had a friend call in.
Yeah.
And when you have someone on, you can either talk to them off air or you can have them on air, right?
Yeah.
And so I had this conversation with my friend back and forth. I thought we were bantering on air, but it turns out I had never turned his mic on so that the audience can hear it. It's like 1 a.m. I hang up uh-huh. with him on air, and I realize that, oh, crap, my friend hasn't been on this whole yeah. time. And the only time a random person has called into my radio show at like 1 a.m, yep. I got a call 2 minutes later like, "Hey, you forgot to put that guy's mic on."
Oh,
and I
no.
just had to go, "I'm
so
sorry,
you got
sir."
Two both at the same time.
Yeah, it was That's rough. Tough.
No, I've always wanted to call in to like a radio show or like drop a voice note for a podcast with yeah. the tagline like, "Long-time listener, first-time caller."
Mm-hmm.
Because it also, I forget the name of the song, but it's a great, great song. It starts like that. Like, okay, we're probably going to have to look that up and play it like a little bit later.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, okay, so I haven't seen you, Luke, in a while.
Yeah,
I would
it's
love to
been
hear,
a minute.
Yeah, it has been. And love-hate relationship that I have with Tufts, and especially Tufts people, is that we're all so busy.
Yeah.
We have so much going on. It's hard to, like, break us out of like our little routines, because once they get going, it, you know, Newton's first, an object in motion stays in motion, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about what's going on, but you know, we have this moment.
We do.
And I would like to hear, like, what's been on your mind recently.
Oh,
yeah.
So I think right now I'm trying to pick classes for next semester.
Okay.
And tied in with that are all of these questions of, I've got my main major, which is chemistry.
Okay.
And I've got this vague idea that I want to apply chemistry to the environment.
Okay.
And I am considering a number of different, like, co-majors and minors.
Yeah.
Really one of each.
Yeah.
But I'm considering these different options, and it's kind of hitting me right now, definitely more than it should.
I don't know the should here. I don't think should's a good word necessarily.
But I'm just trying to think about the future, and I'm trying to think maybe too far into the future right now on, like, is grad school the option? Is, you know, going to work somewhere the option? Mm-hmm. And how do I line up these dominoes so that they fall the way that I want them to? But the more I think about it, the more I just kind of come back to what my parents, what my mm-hmm. advisor, who I love, she's great.
Yeah.
What everyone is just like, take the classes that you want to take, and then figure out the rest later, you know? But that's the big thing on my mind right now.
Okay.
It's also been a semester of, like, a whole bunch of classes, a whole bunch of clubs that I'm active in. Mm. I've got a lot of, like, plates that I'm spitting. I don't know if... Yeah. And I'm trying to keep them all in the air.
I get it.
Yeah.
That was very much my junior year, because... Mm. I look back, and I would say that my peak college experience was probably during my junior year, probably this time last year.
Yeah.
This year's gone well enough, but it's been very forward-focused.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my free time has been, free time with massive air quotes, has been in the consideration of, what is my next step?
Yeah.
How do I close out this chapter of my life in a way that I feel, really, like, caps off, like, what these 4 years have meant to me? Because, everyone's always going to remember, like, their 4 years of undergraduate education.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's awesome to hear that, like, you're having a similar experience, balancing a lot of plates, involving yourself in the community, just making it that much better, having an impact. Doing stuff like this, which I
this
love.
This is awesome.
Yeah, this is amazing. On to your question, though, I don't think it's ever too early to really think about your future. And what I'm trying to do right now, right, is kind of take, like, this design mentality into forward thinking. Just trying to start with, like, super simple questions of, like, what's out there? Like, what could I possibly do? Like, what are the craziest ideas of, like, where can I see myself in a few years? Like, what would I even want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What am I skilled at doing? And then kind of, like, narrowing down from there, like, what does the world actually need? Oh, you know what? Great thing to bring up. Can you Google a picture of Ikigai? I think it's spelled I-K-I-G-A-I.
The Japanese secret to a long and healthy life?
Yes. Bring up the image. There's, like, a great...
Yep.
Man, this is, like, a podcast? Does this feel like a podcast?
It feels like a podcast. It is live radio.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll try to explain to the viewers. So there are four circles that are laid over each other.
Venn diagram sort of situation.
Very much a Venn diagram sort of situation. In the center, we have the Japanese word ikigai. I'm not sure if I'm butchering that pronunciation. So sorry if not. So at the bottom circle is titled, "What Can You Be Paid For?" The circle on the right, what the world needs. The circle at the top, what you love. And the circle on the left is what you're good at. And overlapping between all the circles are your passions, your mission, your vocation, and your profession. And in the center is ikigai. And I believe that is a concept of, like, finding, like, quote unquote, meaningfulness, like, in your life.
Yeah.
Neither you nor I are smart enough to even begin to answer that question in the 35 minutes that we have left.
So
in
true.
Our radio station.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good starting point. I think you, like, take, like, asking these types of questions is very much the first step. Like, what do I even want to do? Like, if I could do anything in the world, like, right now, like, what would it be? And, like, what would I be happy doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's super important that you find something that you can, like, be, that you find meaningful, because you got to wake up every day to do it. I think people before us, right? Maybe 30, 50 years ago. They didn't necessarily have that, like, opinion on work.
Yeah.
They were just like, listen, I do it to put a roof over my head, feed
myself
kids.
And others. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Like, put clothes on my back. And it was, like, very much, like, a subsistence thing, right? But luckily, we're, like, you and I happen to be privileged enough that we can choose what we want to do.
Yeah.
Move in that direction. And there's so many big impactful things in the world that we could like help work towards. So why not like ask these types of questions, like what am I good at, what do I love doing, like what does the world need and what can I be paid for as a starting point, and then just try to narrow it down from there.
That's great advice. This is going to be on my mind as I think about all this other stuff.
Yeah. You know what I've really loved this year is like taking, you know everyone loves their hot girl walks. You love them. I love them.
I gotta get a definition on this. Before we go any further, I'm sorry. I've been living under a little bit of a rock recently.
Oh,
so,
I got you. Okay, yeah. So picture it. It's sunny day outside.
Yep.
You don't have a care in the world, or maybe you do have a little bit of a care in the world. You put on your favorite outfit.
Yeah.
And you have to either be wearing wired headphones or a headset over the ears. That's the only way that this kind of thing works.
Yeah, for sure.
So put on your favorite tune. Favorite outfit,
mm-hmm.
Walk. I don't know where it
okay.
is. Maybe down to the coffee shop, maybe you're running errand. Maybe you're just like letting everyone perceive you.
You, yeah.
As just being that person.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
100%. And you take your little hot girl walk and you think.
Some other people also call this like a main character moment, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
though I think they have slightly different energies. I don't know. Close enough.
I'm putting a pin in this.
We're gonna come back to this.
Circling back.
We're coming back.
Main character versus hot girl walk.
Yep.
Anyway, what I've been loving doing is like, you know, no music. Just think, I'm a huge School of Life fan, like on YouTube. I've like been watching their content like forever. One of their favorite videos that I've seen recently is like babies. When they have like a lot of stimulation, start getting fussy and mad. It's not because like they don't like what's going on. It's just because, you know, their little brain is just, you know, filled up with like hugs and kisses and new words.
I mean,
and
everything is a new experience for a baby.
Exactly.
Done so.
But we forget that we kind of need that too. And mm-hmm. I feel like especially in college, especially in like young adult life, we're dealing with so many big questions. Like, what do I want to do in my early career? How do I handle very serious questions between like other young adults? How do I take care of myself and like fend for myself in the world? But we don't always like, you know, I'm going to take 20 minutes, no phone, no talking. I'm just going to think about what's going on
mm-hmm.
with me. New movement for me. I started regularly seeing a therapist about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Wonderful experience. I'm not going to be that person that just preaches just go to therapy. I'll like back it up with some reasons. Having a space to talk about exactly like what's on your mind,
mm-hmm.
and being able to like I'm someone who needs to externalize like everything just to feel on. And so like mm-hmm. all those like crazy little thoughts that's going on in my head, I can like, you know, lay them out on like the virtual drawing board, sort through them, organize them, clarify them. And I found myself, you know, being able to very accurately and clearly communicate why I feel the way I've been feeling for any number of reasons. And I really feel like that's just been so incredibly helpful.
And you get the benefit of doing that with someone that is disconnected from everything else in your life, which is kind of huge.
I think it really is, because while friends and family are amazing, they're going to be biased, right? They're going to like want the best for you. And like they're not necessarily always going to call you out for like incorrect thought behaviors, or maybe they'll have like incorrect patterns of behavior themselves, or like, you know, necessarily troublesome patterns of behavior themselves that make it harder for them. Also, therapists are kind of cold hearted. Like, you could be pouring your heart out, right? About to get to some major breakthrough, and they're like, oh, that's our time. I'll see you next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost throws me how impartial that they can be. Like, I'm sometimes speaking to my therapist, and like, we're going into it and like having a time, and they're like, wow, great job. See you next week, by the way. And I'm like, I'm almost a little shaken, like when mm-hmm. I get off the call. But it, you know, it is a really good thing that like they are just like completely impartial. It feels good.
And every now and then you can Also gone to therapy. Big believer in therapy. Yeah. Sometimes they call you out a little bit, and that can be warranted. Yeah.
That can be super helpful.
Super helpful.
Man, I'm just trying. I'm just kind of like, you know, reminiscing on like all the thing that they have said to me that have been super helpful. Honestly, it's been like a lot of like, you know what? Stop second guessing yourself.
Yep.
A little bit of, you know, go with your gut. Like, now sometimes you're not. I think a lot of times, especially as people of science that we are, right? Like, we want to like validate everything. We want to like follow up the second source. And I feel like, you know, since we're also like on the internet and we know how much information just isn't necessarily real out there, like, we want to always verify what we're saying. And we apply a lot of those thoughts, or at least that pattern, like, to our own thoughts and to our own feelings, right? But sometimes I don't think you necessarily have to or should do that. Like, so a lot of times, I believe your first instinct, probably the closest one, or at least like the most accurate to how you're feeling.
And deserves more trust than maybe I give it. I don't know if you find yourself in the same boat.
I very much feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know? And it's definitely just given me a lot more validation. And honestly, it's just given me a clear view of like how to treat the people around me. Because instead of like second guessing, like, oh, that thing that they said, kind of put me the wrong way. But I'm just in my head, you know, instead of like putting myself down, really recognizing like that wasn't really cool to say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily sure like I appreciate what that says about you as a person, you know, or like something along those lines, or like vice versa, you know, it's like, you know, taking like a deeper look at someone and being like, oh, you know what? I think there's something more there. I think you're illustrating some amazing characteristic that I would like love to like, you know, get to know and like pursue, and just like that kind of like intense listening to not only myself but to like other people has definitely been like a byproduct of like working with like a mental health professional, and I definitely don't want to turn back at this point. Like, it definitely made, I feel like it really has made me like a better person, you know. That's my two cents. Is that I know I have to do a PSA at some point.
We do have to get to a PSA. I've got a couple things that I want to get to at some before the end of the show.
No. We'll get to them. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up?
I was just gonna say I need to throw the big question back at you, which is how's it going right now? It's been a minute since we've talked. And I feel like we've probably just covered some of that, but also just answer the question how you want to answer it. You know.
Well, what's been going on with me?
Yeah.
So senior year.
Yeah.
Senior year. Crazy experience. It hasn't necessarily hit me, right? I'm going away in 2 weeks to Austria for a music festival. I'm super excited. First
Austria?
Time. Yes.
Like European. In Europe. Okay, gotcha.
First time in Europe as an adult, you know, and it's going to be incredible. I'm going with like my closest friend at Tufts, and then my closest friend from back home. I'd say the biggest lesson that I'm really walking away is like quality over quantity in every aspect of my life, right? So I just really feel like, you know, I'm gonna leave school with a handful of like just very, very close friends, people who are like ride or dies, but they're not the people that I expected to like be like my closest friends like at the beginning of college or even like halfway through, and a lot fewer than I was expecting as well. You know, it's not this mass amount of people. Like, I've loved being a very active member of this community and like, you know, saying hi to like every person that I can, but like when I really think about like, you know, when the chips are down, who is gonna like just drop it? Like, if I was like gonna go to the hospital, like, God, knock on wood, right? But like, if something were gonna happen to me, who would drop everything to come help me? And there are 5 or 6 people I can look at and be like, they totally would, without a shadow of that, and I would do the same for them. And that's like really important. Another thing that's like going on for me is just, you know, just kind of like focusing on me. I feel like a lot of, and this is gonna get real, a lot of school I wasn't necessarily focusing on like me as an individual, you know. I was thinking about my connection to the people around me and how I fit in like at Tufts.
Yeah.
And then I looked around and I was like, I'm just like an individual. And as much as I would like to say that I'm a community-oriented person, maybe more so than like the average American, and I think those types of like familial values are like super important to me, you know? It takes a village in every sense of the word. But just focusing on like what I want to do, how I want to move forward, and like taking responsibility for how I'm like moving like throughout the world, like, you know, making sure that like I can support myself, I can support the people around me, and just kind of like starting to raise the stakes a little bit more, because I'm going to start going out into the world like kind of by myself and figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit scary at times, a bit exciting at the other, but this was like I'm paraphrasing from someone else from like I met a few weeks ago, came in for a panel as like a recent graduate from the civil engineering department here at Tufts, and you made a really interesting point that us as college students at a school like Tufts, you know, elite private university, we've had so many resources, so much time and energy has been dedicated for us to focus on like learning, focus on like just, you know, bettering, hopefully bettering society, like being the people that are going to be the next leaders, politicians, engineers, lawyers, and doctors. And at some point, it's expected that we give back to those communities that have done so much for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to really come to terms with the fact that, like, all right, time to put on my big boy shoes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, really try to make a difference out in the world, or like at least, you know, kind of stake my claim as myself. And it's heavy for sure, but I'm also like I'm really excited to like go out into the world and do that. It's been I'm ranting like a little bit, so I apologize.
Hey, but like, you're a guest on a radio interview show, so you've got a right to talk a little bit, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah. But just like recognizing that like you can be that person that like is a trailblazer if you really want to be, that can like, you know, make a difference. And that's exciting. That's like really exciting to like look at yourself not as just a member, like not a student in the classroom, not a member of a club, not a person on a team anymore, but like you as your own person with like all the crazy parts that make up your identity is really exciting. And I think that is, that's a culminating experience of senior year.
Yeah.
Like, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, that's me. Or at least, like, this is, like, the start of me. Like, the training wheels are, like, starting to come off. And you get really excited about it. Yeah. You definitely get really excited about it.
I want to kind of bring in that circle that I had forgot about in Ikigai that I don't think we talk about a lot in America, which is what the world needs. And I think you were bringing that up a lot, and I may be... I don't know. I haven't been considering that a lot recently, but I think it's an important way of like seeing where you want to go as its own way of giving back.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, as a civil engineer, I feel like I can only answer in... Well, I'll give two answers. I'll give the answer as a citizen of the world, and I'll give an answer as like a civil engineer. So, as an engineer, I think we need to focus on, obviously, sustainability.
Yeah.
I think... one of the best ways that I can do it is focusing on water rights. I was actually talking to one of the professors at the Gordon Institute earlier today about something that I can maybe do like in the future. Water rights are becoming a bigger and bigger deal like out west. They're going to become a bigger deal in many parts of the world because our freshwater supply is very, very quickly being consumed, and it's not necessarily sustainable. Like, we overwater, we use a ton of water for like the industrial agriculture, in industrial agriculture, specifically like in meat production. And it's starting to get to the point where like we're starting to have conflicts between different stakeholders. And as a civil engineer, I can work to like, you know, make sure everyone's getting a fair amount. Like, how can we use it in a more efficient way? How can we use it in a more sustainable way?
Yeah.
And those are the skills that I've been taught in, that I'm interested with. And I think the world kind of needs that. On the other side, I think... I feel like we just need to connect as people more and like use our phones less. And that's super basic take, right? And much smarter people than I can, like, elaborate. But my small little view, something I find super frustrating is there's a lull in conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're on a bus. Maybe you're at a party. Maybe you're just, like, in class and no one's necessarily saying anything. Because, you know, sometimes you don't have to say everything in conversation.
Yeah.
About, what, maybe 3 microseconds later, everyone has their phones out and just, like, absorbed back into their own world. And I know more than anyone that, like, our lives are revolved around this. Like, I have this scheduled in my calendar. How do you think I set it up? On the walk over, I was, like, reviewing all the questions, like, using my phone, right? Yeah. And we use it for a million different things, like staying in contact with friends and family, organizing our work streams, communication.
Yeah. Yeah,
so important. But I think it's, like, starting to hurt, especially, like, people our age. I think a lot of us are, like, losing the art of conversation, losing the art of just, like, pure human connection with, like, the person right across from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so as, like, a, you know, citizen of the world, I think what the world needs is a little bit more face-to-face and a little bit less screen-to-screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should jump to a song maybe while we talk about how we want to wrap up the show.
Yeah, sounds good.
But as a final thought, I think technology advanced before we figured out what, like, how we wanted to interact with it, and I think it's kind of biting us in the butt right now.
Oh, I totally think so. So we'll be, I guess we'll be right after.
We'll be right back
after a break.
Yeah. Do you have a preference on what song to to kick it to?
Actually.
It's a little bit of an overcast day right here. I think we're getting some rain later on, just to fill the time as you pull this up, but. Yeah. Ready when you are. It's going. We'll be back.
See, my eyes can't see clear, cause they're coated in fear. Shot down the left hemisphere, and it sent me here to a pod. My attention's a fraud. Or a fuck requires no more, no less. It's over there, there's a storm in the west. Before it gets the best of me, stress will be eased if you undress. Barfing no less, your soul. See how it grows cold. I need to go before I lose control. Emotions, I don't want you to see. So drowned in the ocean, but my body's spread across the sea. You see these eyes, can't see my eyes. You see these eyes, girl, can't see my eyes. You see these eyes, girl, I can't see my eyes. They open wide, shut and tight. I know you are fake. Cause man, I'm the same. What brought me at the stake? Are you content with this game? Are you content with what you made? And when there was days of dark, were you witness when I was torn apart? By my own hands and my own heart. Let me tell you, girl, there's no room to leave a mark. See, it's all just fine if you think it's okay. When actual fact, you think it's great. What can I say? What's there to say? Well, your brave, bring the wet wipes, brought a star sign. So we knew that tonight would be just fine. This ain't a sign if you think it's okay. That it's divine, but what can I say? Well, your brave, bring the wet wipes, I brought a star sign. So we knew that tonight would be just fine. Thank you. is no vice. This is no vice. Can't see my eyes. It's what was advised by the love of my life, bathed in the core of strife, and it was born inside my urge to purge so bold. I need the warmth of a brother to hold. I need the warmth of your mother to hold me down. So hold me down. If you hear that sound, came from 6 feet beneath this ground. Let me lay here. Girl, let me lay here. For a little while, baby, fear. You see these eyes, they sense a light that could be near. Can't see my eyes. Can't see my eyes.
And we are on air. That was The Crocodile by King Krule.
Classic.
You're good to go.
There's something dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in the closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WFMO in Medford Tufts Community Radio.
Thank you. That was excellently done.
Wow, I love that. And as someone who has worked extensively with ladders, they're no joke.
They really aren't. No.
They're the silent killers. That, yeah. And garbanzo beans.
Librarians as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Clowns in sewers.
Clowns in sewers. True.
A yep. Non-silent killer, seeing you missed more than 5 calls from your mom.
That, yep, that's a loud one.
Yeah. Oh, man. The amount of time that like, you're walking home and you're like, oh.
Oh. I should not have had my phone on Do Not Disturb.
I'm not going to put it in the well. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Tell me a bit about the finale of your time at Tufts.
The finale.
Yeah.
Big, beautiful. I hope it ends with a flash and a bang. Mm-hmm. And I end, you know, not kicking and screaming, but like doing a little victory lap.
Yeah.
Here at Tufts. It's been quite a ride. I walk around campus and I have so many memories from every single seat, corner,
yeah,
bush, piece of lawn, or classroom I've had some kind of misadventure in at some point. I've had a good time here. I remember thinking to myself at the end of my junior year, I think I've done it. I think I've done, checked off all the big boxes of college that like you could really think about.
A year ago. Yeah.
I like, you know, there's a couple things here that you can't necessarily say on there, but like there are, you know, did well in school.
Yep.
Set myself. I'm going to grad school, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. So other than, you know, I don't have a job, but I have something going on afterwards.
Yeah.
And so other than like, you know, walking across the stage, grabbing that diploma, and I don't know, I guess throwing my hat in the air and taking grad photos, I'm, you know, just kind of waiting to wrap it up. Wow, it goes by so fast. It goes by so fast, and it doesn't hit you until the very end. I was in DeWitt the other day because I didn't buy groceries. Mm-hmm. Very much a senior moment. Sitting in DeWitt, run into a bunch of other seniors. Maybe another house full of them, right?
Crazy.
And they were like, yeah, we all sat in DeWitt just kind of reminiscing that this is where it all started. And we were thinking, yeah, about like what kind of people would we have been had we not gone to Tufts. And what I think we all have in common here at this school is that we're kind people. You know, a vast majority of us are definitely more interested in spreading positivity, making the world a better place, and like being kind to our fellow human being. There are tons of pros and cons of the society that we've, that this little like community that we've like set up here, you know, but that's the one that I would like to emphasize right now, and definitely something that I'm like looking forward to bringing into the world as I like leave this environment. Wow, it's crazy that there are just so many people. I feel like it's really hitting me now that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
I was in the gym the other day, and there is this girl that I've, like, you know, been friends with since the very beginning. I think I introduced myself to her maybe my second or third week of freshman year. I'm not going to say we're close. Wouldn't even say that we're friends with a lowercase f, but we're good enough acquaintances. I've spent a lot of time with her and around her and her friends. She's done the same. And every time I see her in passing at the gym, on the street, I have a cute little stop and chat.
Yeah.
You know? It's adorable. I love it. And in a couple months' time, I might never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like blowing my mind a little bit. I spent last summer here. Wonderful experience. If you ever get the chance to have a summer in Medford, highly recommend it. Oh my God. Go take a run out to the Mystics Lakes, dive into the docks. It really feels like that teenage high school moment that we all should have had.
Yep.
That we never really did, but oh my God. And I just loved like having this little small town vibe. I would like come back from work, I would grab a book, I'd put my feet up on my porch and like sit on my little picnic table and just watch all the people that I know around this small cute little town just pass by, off to dinners or the gym, going for bike rides. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Good to see you too. Yeah, I'm all right. And I loved it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to end soon. And I'm not necessarily upset because I'm ready for bigger pastures. You'll definitely see in a couple months that cabin fever definitely starts to get real. Like in senior year, everyone gets...
Okay, yeah.
You know, everyone starts realizing, maybe I put up with you for long enough. You know, maybe I'm ready for something else. Mm-hmm. But it is still a very bittersweet moment. And in like the last couple minutes, I'd love to like go back and just talk about like some of my favorite memories of Tufts. So just like kind of put them into the ether.
Yeah.
Freshman year, there was a leader of TLC. Oh my God, I worked with the Tufts Labor Coalition my freshman year. Phenomenal experience. I met one of the main organizers at breakfast at Carmichael. Shout out Carm Berries, man, before...
So true.
Before they changed, Carm was my favorite place to eat. Oh, man.
Dude, we're going to put a pin in that, come back to that. But, yeah.
And just working, like going to like a labor strike and really like, you know, standing up for what I believed in, you know, fair treatment of workers from all socioeconomic backgrounds and like doing that in public, like yelling and screaming, that was incredible. That meant a lot.
Yeah.
It is completely different to, there's one thing to repost something on Instagram or even to donate. It's a completely other thing to get up out of your bed, go somewhere and yell and scream at the top of your lungs for what you believe. And the people who are continuing to do that organizing work, they're doing the Lord's work, honestly. And I hope to be able to continue my activist spirit for the rest of my life. You know, anytime there's like a big protest or something that I really care about, I'd love to be out there. And, you know, shout out to that person that like encouraged me to do it. Sophomore year, I think it taught me that, you know, it was COVID. I was in Lewis Hall for like 9 months straight. It was myself, 9 other guys and 1 girl. And I realized you don't have to have everything in common with someone for them to become family for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've formed such strong bonds, and I still have so much love and care for all of those people to this day, even if we're not as close as we used to be. And I'm really excited to, like, you know, take that forward. You know, there's so many people that are going to be like in my life for like the rest of it that I'm yet to meet, and I'm so excited to like meet those people and kind of like develop that. And you know, they might be someone that I might hate at the beginning, like, oh my God, you're the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, you really get under my skin. But they are gonna become my closest friends. They're gonna be like in my wedding. Maybe they'll be the person I marry. You don't know. And I don't think I necessarily have like a one clean like takeaway from like my junior year, but Oh man, favorite moment was probably like throwing dinner parties and opening up my home to so many people. There's just nothing better than like looking around like your dinner table, like where you were doing homework, maybe having like dinner the night before, and it's just filled with like friends and I mean I guess like family at this point, just like laughing and smiling and giggling. And it almost feels like in that moment that like there's like this like golden like, hey, like in movie shots, like where they kind of like pan across the scene and it's like kind of tinted like super well. Yeah. And it's just like this happy montage moment that's like burned into your memory forever. I could see it. I can see it right now. And man, I loved it. Man, I love it. I will continue to do it. Wow. If this is going to be one way that I'm like remembered at Tufts, thank you, you crazy animals. Taught me a lot. Hasta la vista. Truly. Oh, man. As much as I'm sad to be leaving, I'm also very excited to be going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was that everything comes to its natural end at some point, and you gotta get on to the next chapter.
More like a hate to see you leave, but love watching you go kind of moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that you'd like to end on? I think that was, that was a great summary of college.
Ooh, okay. Closing song.
Yeah.
Let's go Dumb Surfer by King Krewal.
Same album?
Same album. No, from The Ooze.
I don't know if we'll be able to play that. Just given.
Ooh, true.
Yeah.
Let me find another song.
For sure. In the meantime, this has been Luke here on with Lee, and you have been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in. 2 weeks from now, the April 14th, I will be on with Yushan Lin, who is a physical chemistry teacher here at Tufts. And we are going to be played out by Easy, by the band King Krewal. Lee, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
I had a very good time. And have a good day, everyone.
Same old Bobby, same old beat. Well, yeah, they got nothing on me. Same old cars, same old streets. But yeah, they got nothing on me. And easy come and easy go. Well, yeah, I'm sure I told you so. Well, they just want you for your door. Man, I'm sure I told you so. And well, your dead job has been eating away your life. You feel a little inside, but trouble and strife. And now you spend your evening searching for another life. And yeah, I